Hello and welcome to one of a short series of podcasts which will investigate aspects of impact assessment from four different perspectives, or four different lenses. Please keep the conversation going by tweeting any thoughts with the hashtag #ImpactFrameworks. Thank you for listening.
I'm Sana Zakaria and I work for NIHR. Today I'm talking to Thomas Christensen about his views on the use of impact assessment for analysis from his personal and professional perspective. Thomas is Senior Vice President at the Novo Nordisk Foundation and has been working with impact assessment for many, many years. So we are talking about analysis as one of the A's underpinning impact assessments, and analysis serves curiosity, helps us in understanding what's working, what isn't, and forms the basis of informing the other A's like advocacy and allocation. Now, the Novo Nordisk Foundation states that the purpose of impact assessment is to monitor the foundation's strategic goals, to enable fact-based communication to society and create new knowledge of the impact of research funding. Now, how easy is it to identify which impact assessment to do when you fund close to 4 billion krona a year in projects?
I would say it's really difficult. I wouldn't say it's easy. It needs to take a long-term perspective on this, because you don't do impact assessment in 1 year because you have awarded grants for 4 billion Danish crowns, which is approximately 500 million pounds. It's necessary to have a strategy. And to prioritize what is important for the impact assessment work in the foundation. And as a guiding principle, we have focused on our vision of the foundation. And the vision of the foundation is to contribute significantly to research and development that improves the lives of people and sustainability of society. And based on this vision, we have tried to formulate 9 impact principles for how the Novo Nordisk Foundation contributes to society. And based on these 9 principles, we have identified indicators which is important for the foundation and which say something about our societal impact. Our ambition is always to employ the best practice to analyze and assess the impact of research and development in society. And in order to do that, we are collaborating with the researchers at universities, with other foundations. And we are also having a very close dialogue to our key stakeholders. The key stakeholders are mainly internally the grant-giving departments in the foundation, but also the grant recipients. So we have a close dialogue to all the grant recipients, and our ambition is that we have 100% response rate from all our grant recipients when we ask them to report once a year to the foundation. It is actually the big challenge of all impact assessment to collect data and to analyze these data.
I guess the vast majority of your funding goes to biomedical health science research and applications. Now, the learning from how to do impact assessments for analysis in that area translate to some of the more niche areas that you fund. So, you know, we talked about obviously at a very strategic level, but things like patient-centered care, social, humanitarian and development aid, areas in which you actually fund work. How do you kind of conduct impact assessments at that level?
We, as you mentioned, have had a historical focus on medical science and the treatment of patients. This has given us a lot of information about what we should expect from our societal impact. But when we set up our impact assessment department 5 years ago, we actually did not have any data. We had some ideas about our societal impact. So we have been in a learning process since we established the impact assessment department. So I would not say that we have founded the perfect model, but we have paved the way. At the same time, we have been driving. So we have tried to learn, have learned by doing. Having said that, of course, we have tried to, as I mentioned, collaborate with researchers who have a long-term knowledge on how to do impact assessment. So we have awarded some grants to researchers so they can do impact studies on the impact of research in health and diseases. But at the same time, we have collected our own data and formulated the logic model for how we expect to have a societal impact. And this logic model follows the theory of change, what could be expected from when you have input of investments into health research, what could then be expected in terms of activities, in terms of output, outcomes, and a long-term societal impact. So this theory of change is a key instrument for us, because based on this theory of change and our logic model, we have developed indicators for all our activities, and that could be for individual grants, but it could also be for a research area. This KPI system has been developed in close collaboration with our experts in health science. So they have helped us to identify what are the most important indicators for measurement of the societal impact of investing in research in health area. So I think this is something where we this year have been able to get an agreement with our key stakeholders of what is important and what is not important when you measure investments in health research. So that has been a long process, a learning process, but also in the impact department, we have people who have experience in social science. So they have an additional interest in looking beyond what is usually expected to be the societal impact of investing in health research. So we are able to look well beyond what is normally expected among health scientists. And this is a big advantage, because then we can identify impact in politics, impact in economic area, impact in education, and many other types of impacts which are not foreseen in the grant awarding activity of the foundation.
It sounds like you have worked in a very collaborative way with the research community to inform these KPIs that you are talking about. Now, does that mean that there is a very kind of bespoke approach taken to various funding streams and assessing their impact? And if so, do you ever find that you need to compare analysis across different disciplines to, you know, understand what works overall for the foundation when it comes to making investment decisions, for instance?
We can learn much from benchmarking the different research areas, because if we look, for instance, in natural science, one can expect different societal impact compared to health science. And again, one could expect also different societal impact when we looked at humanities or social science compared to natural science and health science. So this gives us a good benchmark for what to look for and what not to look for when we try to measure the societal impact in a certain scientific area. But we really respect the societal impact in different research areas is and should be very different. So we do not compare the outcome in a certain area, for instance, in natural science, of investing 100 million Danish crowns. We do not compare this with the outcome, for instance, in social science or in health research, simply because the impact of research are different in different scientific fields, and also the costs of research are different in different scientific fields. We have an ambition in the foundation to donate money to all scientific fields. So what we are looking at is actually more different instruments within a certain field. So for instance, we look at research, smaller research projects. Is that better in health science than large research programs in health science or research centers in health science? So we can look across different instruments within the same scientific field, but we do not look so much across different scientific fields. Here we focus more on getting inspiration for what we could learn from in other fields.
You mentioned international benchmarking and, you know, some of the research centers. Now, one of the many areas the foundation invests in is the Steno Diabetes Centers. Now, the grant is designed to improve treatment for diabetics in Denmark to an international benchmark, but also increase research activity and support the construction work. So when you look at such a varied sort of bunch of outputs and outcomes, and when you're reviewing the impact of such funding, where do you start with that?
When we invest in big research infrastructure or in research centers, then you must understand that Denmark is a small country. So if we need to get an idea of what is the impact of the big investments we are doing in a research center, then we do not have benchmarks inside in our own country. So we need to look beyond our borders and to have an idea of what is best practice in the world. Where do we have research centers or research units or research hospitals which could be used as a benchmark for our activities? So the international benchmark is quite important for us to understand how well our initiatives are doing. Also, since we want to build up world-class initiatives in Denmark and also help our research hospitals to perform a world-class treatment of the patients, we need to have an idea of what do we mean by world class. And in this connection, we also need to have some international benchmark. Normally, we do not define these international benchmark ourselves. We do it in close collaboration with our key stakeholders. That could be our grant recipients. It could also be research teams at universities in Denmark or in Scandinavia. So this is very important for us to be open to the knowledge which are created elsewhere to better understand what is the added value of the things we are doing. With respect to the Steno Diabetes Centers, our ambition has been to build up new high technology research hospitals. So we are funding buildings, but we also fund research activities. We fund treatments of patients. So treatment should be one of the best in the world. And then we fund education of the health professionals. So in all these four areas, we also collect data and monitor the development. And since we're talking about very new initiatives, then we are in the very beginning of our monitoring. So the focus has been on establishing what I would call a baseline for monitoring the progress of our initiatives. So the baseline discussion has been very important because that is, so to speak, a control group for the initiative. So we can measure the added value in the Danish society against this control group. And the control group can be international benchmarking, but it can also be benchmarking against other initiatives in Denmark.
I'm That's been really insightful, Thomas, listening to you about all of these topics. Are there any last words you wish to say to our listeners on analysis around impact assessment?
I only want to say that impact assessment is a learning by doing process. But the key issue will be to collect data and continue to collect data from your grant recipients and from other sources, and combining these data and improving the database you have in the foundation. Because without data, you will never be able to conduct impact assessment. I know that for some foundations or for some people, it's hard to report on data or to collect data in a systematic way. But that is necessary if you would like to take impact assessment seriously. So I can only recommend to start collecting data, and then also to accept this is a long-term investment that you need to collect data for many years in order to get a proper impact assessment.
Very wise words. Thank you so much for your time. And we hope everyone tuning in has found this as insightful as I have.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. It's one of four in a series exploring different impact lenses. Please return to the website to discover the others. And don't forget to tweet us your comments and questions at #ImpactFrameworks. And once again, thank you for listening.